Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you, really. I don't know what I would do without you. I don't know what I would do without you. My life would just be most pitiable, really. But, Lord Jesus, you saved me, and you raised me, and I thank you for that. I really do thank you for that. And, Lord, I pray that anyone listening, Lord, would have the same, just same thankfulness, the same gratitude that you saved them. And you raise them, and that they will be experiencing that continually from the morning, the moment they wake up, until the evening. That wouldn't have just been some experience they had some odd years ago when they first became a believer, but that would characterize their whole day, every day, that you saved them and that you raised them. So, Lord, I just worship you and I give you that honor. In your name, amen. This is Michael Ryan. Hello, welcome to Knowing Jesus. If you're interested in subscribing, you can go to iTunes and just put Michael Ryan's Booze in there and you should be able to find me. But friends, I just wanted to give some quick encouragement today that, you know, the Lord, he really did save you. He really did. He redeemed you. He did visit the world. You know, just, you know, look up in the sky and realize that there's a God sitting on the throne up there. Just realize that, and he actually came and visited this world in human form. And not so everybody would glorify him, and not that everybody would just put him on a pedestal and he just sit as a king here, but that he would come and die for you. And that he saved you, really. He did. He saved you from black torment and the darkness of hell, you know. Just you can't even see the torment. You're just being tormented all day and long. All day and night, it says, and you don't have to worry about that, because that's where your sins were taking you. That's where your sins were taking you. But he saved you. He came down with his own volition. You know, no one killed the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, there's none of this talk about the Jews killed him or, you know, I killed him. No. He laid his life down. He surrendered his life. No one takes his life. He surrendered it. That's what he says in John chapter 10. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. And then he says, I lay my life down. No one takes it from me. He says, greater love no man has than this, and to lay his life down for his friends. So I really encourage you to just meditate on the cross today, that you would be thinking about it, because let me tell you, your default is to not think about it. Your default is to not care about the cross. Your default is to look around at what's going on in front of you with your own two eyes, your experience that you're having, the, you know, anxiety at work or with school, or the bills that come into play, or your frustration with particular relationships, or your own feelings or emotions, or your own desires and dreams and plans that aren't getting met right now. And there's so many things to get focused on. And I would just encourage you to know that if you die, you're going to heaven with the Lord. And the second thing I want to encourage you in, and this, to me, this is I love this. I mean, this is probably one of my favorite things about the gospel. Not that I don't appreciate being saved, but the fact that he raised you. And what I mean by he raised you, and I'm going to give a further talk on this in another podcast, but you now are a new creation. You are a new creation. You're no longer that person that was living this life of, I do what I want to do when I want to do it. I live my life on my own means without a conscience towards God. He saved you from that, and he raised you. And what do you mean? What do you mean by that, Michael? That he raised me? You're now a new creation. You have a new man, and that new man is Jesus Christ living in you. That is your new life. Your new life. And guess what, friends? He desires that you see that right now, today, all day. That it's not your life. It's his life. It is his life. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who gave his life for them. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, your life is really him. And that's a good thing. That's good news, because the Lord is alive and he's powerful and he's bearing fruit in you. And I want to encourage you to really be mindful of the fact that Jesus Christ lives in you and is bearing fruit. And that doesn't mean what you think it may mean. You know, when we think about God living in us, we start thinking, oh, I better be feeling this all day long. I better be swinging on fans and I better be floating in the air. God lives in me. It's like, no, it's not science fiction. In a science fiction movie, if you say that God lives in someone, or if God is in someone, next thing you know, that person is going to be doing all types of crazy things. It's going to draw attention to themselves. They're going to try to do all this stuff to show how, you know, they're living this fantastic life. That's not what it means to have God in you. What it means to have God in you is that His power is working in you to produce fruit. His power is working in you to produce fruit that is good, more than enough to get you through the storms of this life. It's not always emotion that you're going to feel. It's not always this really profound spiritual experience that you're going to get. But He's still producing fruit in you. You know, and I want to go further into that and say, look, sometimes I'm more aware of the fruit of self-control in me. Sometimes I'm more aware of that. Sometimes I may not be feeling completely emotional about God, but I'll be feeling a sense of self-control, you know. Or sometimes I'll feel a sense of joy. I just feel joyful, you know. I just feel really joyful. Or sometimes I feel just love. Like I want to find and help people. I want to go out of my way to help my neighbor, you know. And He's just doing it all in me. He's just working it out. Sometimes there's more fruit at the same time. But I encourage you to look inside of your heart. And what kind of fruit is God bearing in you? If you believe in Jesus Christ and you've been saved, I'm telling you that He bears fruit in you. He does bear fruit in you. And if you're not feeling like you're seeing the fruit, invite Him to fill you up. You know, I encourage you to be inviting Jesus Christ all day to be leading you. Inviting Him, because even though you were saved and you were raised, your old man is still in you. It's not the main thing anymore. The old man is not on the table anymore, but it still lives in you. It still lives in you, that old person. That old person still lives with the carnal desires, the carnal thoughts, the carnal nature. And I would be inviting the Lord Jesus Christ, if you haven't already, into your life to fill you all day long. I mean, He lives in you, but to be asking Him to fill you. The scripture teaches that in Ephesians. It teaches to be inviting Jesus Christ to fill you completely. And that really is going to make all the difference in your day. It really will. And you're going to find yourself having to call upon that often. But I would encourage you to really be inspecting the fruit and rejoicing in the fruit. I mean, have you ever thought about rejoicing in the fruit that God produces in you? Because that really just makes devotion to Jesus that much more available and exciting, that you can just, wow, I can see that He's doing this in me. You know, sometimes we're looking for one particular experience when He's doing something else. I say that because I know I go through it. You know, I may be saying, wow, I wish I could be feeling more joy right now. But all the while, I'm feeling more faithful. And there's a sense of faithfulness and self-control that's going on in me that's the Lord. That's not me producing that. I can't produce that. And so what can I do? I can go and worship Him right there. Lord, thank You for that. Thank You for bearing that fruit in me. Thank You so much. Because you know what, friends? To see Him is to worship Him. To see the Lord is to worship Him. It says that in Matthew chapter 28, verse 17. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him. So I encourage you, friends, really, if you know, to be meditating on that Jesus Christ saved you and He raised you. He raised you with Himself. He raised you with His own power, with His own presence, personalized and specific for you. And I invite you to enter into that and to just know that. Okay, friends? So it's just a quick encouragement for you. Praise the Lord Jesus and just know that He saved you and He works in you and He raised you. Okay? Lord Jesus, I just thank You, and I can't wait for the day that You come back and You return. You're so good. You're good news, really. The living God living in us, working in us, cleaning us, cleansing us. Even we've already been completely cleansed, but You're just continually sanctifying us, God, and working in us. And it's all good. It really is. And We can just come to a place where we can just come be comfortable with the fact that we're imperfect, but you're perfect and you're working in us and you're okay with our imperfections. And I just thank you for that, Jesus. That's just grace in of itself. So you get all the glory, Jesus Christ. You get all the honor. Please be the number one desire of our hearts. Please, you working in us. Us learning more about your life right now, your ministry, when you walk this planet. Just us learning as much as we can about you and growing to know you personally. Let that just be our desire to worship you and to experience your presence throughout the day. Jesus, we love you and we do give you all the praise and devotion. In your name, Jesus, this prayer is about you, and it's in your name. Amen.